Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, time permitting. We'll try to work you in, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, got to know him a little bit when I was on the air up in Huntsville, but I'm glad he can make time for our Mobile audience this morning. State Representative Rex Reynolds joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you? Oh, there we go. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good and well, Jeff.
Hey, appreciate you coming on. Well, you and I are talking off air, been a busy a few days. How's just your initial reaction? What do you think?
Well, we were very excited about it. Obviously, we felt like it would go this direction anyway. I mean, it had already been assessed through one administration, and Huntsville was ranked number one. And once again, through a separate administration, it again ranked number one. So, certainly, Redstone Arsenal is already a federal center of excellence, and we felt like it was coming here. It was just a matter of time and kind of putting politics aside, kind of let it go through that comprehensive, you know, driven evaluation process. And so here we are. We'll get ready for a bright move here, and certainly reach out to the employees of Space Command in Colorado, and for those families that want to move to the great state of Alabama, we're going to assist them in doing so.
Well, tell me, you know, what do you need to do now? And I hear this has been growth. Anytime you start talking about growth and a massive influx of people. Now, Mayor Battle and Commissioner McCutcheon yesterday at a press conference said, you know, they think they're ready for it. What's your take on it? What needs to be done?
Well, I think so. I know we're ready for it. That they're at the behind the gate in the EUL extended use lease there on Redstone Arsenal. We'll have some temporary facilities that'll be ready ASAP. And just because of some facilities that were built with some expansion available already within that location, as the deputy commander said yesterday, also during that press conference, that if he got a call to stand up some component of it tonight by midnight, he could do that. So they're certainly ready there. You know, we've got to, as the Madison County Legislative Delegation, we got to continue to focus on roads, funding for additional infrastructure. This, you know, while the initial impact will be 1,500 jobs, there'll be 2 to 3 jobs on top of that just from Space Command moving here. So that could be an impact of about 4,000 people.
So, you know, that doesn't, you know, who knows? The infrastructure is what it is. And I'll say this, and I remember this from my time up there and returning. I mean, there's been a lot of infrastructure improvements under Mayor Battle, but this is going to be probably more than just the city of Huntsville, one would assume. I mean, it's going to have a lasting impact. Assuming this stays now, that's always, I guess it's going pretty well now. It's looking pretty good now, but, you know, people talk about we're going through this sort of growth in Baldwin County where I live, and it's not just necessarily roads and bridges. It's also water, sewer, schools, et cetera. What needs to be done there?
Well, it really is. And you're exactly right. I mean, this workforce, some portion will come from Colorado, but we'll also be relying on North Alabama workforce. And that can come from as far, you know, Scottsboro, Florence, Decatur, Athens. And we have a lot of federal employees now that travel in from Tennessee. So, you know, we just got that Northern Bypass open, just cut the ribbon on it last week. That's huge to move our workforce out of Tennessee and into Redstone Arsenal and to other locations throughout the city. And we got other, you know, major corporations here that have huge workforces, and we're moving them adequately, and we'll do the same for Space Command.
Well, tell me, and this question has been brought up, especially among my audience, but, you know, the new employees and the politics they may or may not bring with them and the possibility of diluting conservative votes. How do you respond to that?
Well, certainly that we have seen some of that occur in Madison County. I mean, you've seen the percentages. You know, this is going to be part of a military workforce. So that military workforce is always transit anyway. And certainly, again, there's a lot of talent within the ranks out there of Space Command. And if they're available and want to come to Alabama, then we'll bring them in here. The chamber has been involved in BRAC relocations before. And they'll go through that same process, and we'll see what happens. I mean, we've got a lot of young engineers coming out of all of our higher education area up here in North Alabama, and we can certainly fill any open positions that we have going into the full time opening of the command here.
What you bring up workforce, and you know, you talk about that a little bit. I watched it, the robotics facility over there in Limestone County, and things of that sort. You're having to like take a whole different approach than other places around Alabama.
Well, you are. I mean, you look at the drone company that we just broke or just had the ribbon cutting on. They're already in production, turning out about 60,000 drones annually per year for the military. Just on the military side, that doesn't count what they're doing on the private drone side. So certainly that's a very technical based facility. But you know, you move on over there to Toyota Mazda and Toyota Engine Company, and we're training a lot of those with assistance of the AIT, and we're training them within those facilities and develop our own workforce. And then you move into the command side and space and missile defense, what they're already doing on Redstone. And certainly those employees are coming out of the higher ed.
Do we anticipate, or is this at least being talked about, that you know, there could be more coming on the federal side? I mean, you hear all the time, and you hear this from, you know, high-ranking members of Congress, not just members of the Alabama delegation, Jim Jordan, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, talking about moving more FBI to Huntsville, moving more government to Huntsville. And the idea there, obviously, is to kind of decentralize Washington, D.C. bureaucracy to some degree. But is that on the radar?
Well, it is, and you're right. You picked a good example of the FBI. You know, back when Shelby committed the first, I think it was $350 million to a new FBI location here, you know, they added the legislative language that money couldn't go anywhere except for those areas that had growth. And FBI Huntsville had that area for growth, and there's still a lot of room behind the secure gates. In the world we live in today, that means a lot. And we've got a lot of other private industries now that do business, you know, supporting the warfighter. They're behind that fence as well. Then we've got some outside the fence right there at the extended use lease, and all those people are doing business with the government, and it's good synergy to have all them together. And I mean, just what they're doing out there, and you know, Von Braun 1, 2, 3, and 4, in real time tracking of missile defense activity, that's good synergy to have that miss, you know, to merge with our Space Command folks. And then, you know, beyond the Space Command, then you've got Space Force, right? So there's even a bigger umbrella out there. Now the Golden Dome comes in. You know, that's going to interact with a lot of what's already going on at Redstone.
Yeah, the Space Command is sort of the predecessor to Space Force, if you will. That, you know, that's in its infancy, but the idea there, I would assume, is that if you do have a Space Force that grows, well, then you got to look at places like Huntsville, Cape Canaveral, Houston, et cetera, as places where that would have at least a footprint.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of, if you would, just a kind of a unified combatant command for all military space operations. Absolutely. Can be done right here at Redstone.
We're joined by State Representative Rex Reynolds here on the program. Representative, you're also chairman of the general fund. I know there's been some budget hearings and things of that sort underway up at Goat Hill, but talk to us a little bit about what to expect there. Now, we've been hearing for a while, especially kind of as the ARPA monies ran out, and that's, you know, kind of becoming a thing of the past. There could be leaner times. There could be, you know, some hard decisions. Are we seeing any of that yet? Or are we seeing anything in the economy that makes you think that it's going to you're going to see revenues, if not decline, at least the growth of the revenues, you know, not be as robust.
Yes, Jeff. First of all, I mean, not as much in the economy as it is exactly what we've been saying for the last three budget cycles. And you've heard me say many times that you know, we cannot take this additional funding and grow government. We've got to use this for one-time capital expenses. And we have done that. You know, but really the only two agencies you'll see with additional personnel would be ALEA and corrections, two areas that we need to do better in recruitment. We did do pay raises there, and that certainly helped that. But otherwise, it was all for one-time expenditures, capital projects within legislative districts, within congressional districts, and certainly within our state agencies. So we said this would go away. We thought the interest on state accounts would have already started to be reduced. But regardless of that, we know by December of 2026, all those ARPA funds, as you mentioned, will be out of those accounts, and therefore the amount of interest we obtain off those accounts will either go away or be significantly reduced.
I mean, it's something, you know, guys in my circles talk about all the time, probably more so about the ETF than the general fund, but the growth, it continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. Do we see that trend start to subside some? I mean, you know, you mentioned where places where it needed to be plussed up was probably corrections and law enforcement. I assume other agencies are getting, you know, just the inflationary nature of the economy right now and the cost of goods and services. But when does that trend sort of get back to, you know, more of a plateau?
Well, we certainly hope that this inflation will begin to trend down. I mean, you saw an article out there today on PHIP on the kind of funding that they're going to need for education workforce. And you'll hear the same, you know, not the same number, but the same message coming out of SEIB side of the house for our state employees. We do know inflation is built into a lot of this. It's on our construction, certainly on construction of our prison. We'll soon go out on an RFP with our second super prison down in the Escambia area. So, you know, we continue to monitor that, but we've got to begin to pull those budgets back. But again, the economy's strong. I mean, general fund to date is up about $88 million over our 24 receipts. So 25 remains strong. But still, you take all those federal dollars out, then our budgets will be smaller.
Can you talk about the prison, the Escambia County prison situation? Like, is it, I mean, did we learn a lesson from Elmore County and almost doubled, right? And maybe it was lowballed in the initial stages predating your time as chairman, but is this going to be done the same way, or is there going to be more cost-effective measures taking place?
Well, we hope it'll be more cost-effective. First of all, you know, that first 4,000-bed prison is our medical unit. So that's, you know, kind of high-intensity, a lot of equipment there, specialty for both mental health and the health of our inmates. You know, our concrete prices and labor alone on that existing project now, they doubled in price. So, I mean, that's typically in steel. So that's your major part of construction on a facility like that. So we'll still see some high numbers. We certainly hope we see some value in it. There's been some discussion about a phased-in approach down there, do all the civil engineering and do all that and try to do an approach. But we'll wait and make that decision based on what we see from the budget. And certainly we'll work closely with Chairman Albritton and that being his area down there as to what best fits him. And so, but we've got, you know, we got other issues too. I mean, Medicaid continues to rise. We were almost, what, $1.2 billion last year. We'll still see some growth there. Mental health continues to grow. Health department, our CHIPS was up $23 million last year, or actually in the 2026 budget that'll start October 1. So we've got several challenges going in as we begin to talk about the 2027 budget.
I mean, what would have happened if we had done without doing construction management, if we had done it the bid process and Would that price have been locked in, or would the state have had to say, yeah, we see what's going on here in the economy, and we're going to have to, you know, do a change here and you know, offer more funding for this prison construction? I mean, is there a way to lock some of this in, or would we have run the risk of just a contractor potentially walking away from the job?
Well, we already had contractors walking away from those bids there. So we were very kind of narrow in scope going into the construction side of that anyway. I do think we've got some lessons learned coming out of that prison, and we'll be more focused on second time around, you know, related to pricing and what the contract's written. You know, we had to go back and adjust that contract, to control some of the change order costs. And so we did that, you know, in that first year, I guess first year I came in as budget chair in that fall. So, and that was something Speaker Ledbetter took as a priority. He really jumped in on that, began to focus on the contract and focus on the funding side of it and working with the governor's office. So we'll do the same going into this, but it will be a bid process, and we'll see if we have some savings going that direction.
Last question. You mentioned the Medicaid question, and, you know, there's always this drumbeat and, you know, Medicaid expansion, but I mean, it's hard for me to see you guys obligating the budget to expand Medicaid, but is there something else that could be done? I don't know the state of health care. We hear the complaints all the time in Alabama. We've seen that, you know, we've done more with mental health. What about everyday health care in this state, especially in the rural areas?
Well, that's right. And, you know, certainly blessed by the work of our federal delegation and the $50 billion that they're putting into rural health care, you know, across America. And I think there'll be a commission formed soon on that. I think CMS may have some direction coming out today or tomorrow related to kind of how that money can be spent. So that'll be a good boost for our rural healthcare system, which is not just hospitals, right? The EMS is going to be very broad, and we'll just have to get in there and focus and figure out based on the rules, the guidelines, it'll kind of have like an ARPA twist to it, and figure out where we can put that money to make the most significant impact.
Chairman, you've been very kind to make time for us this morning. Let's do it again sometime.
That sounds good, Jeff. Thanks for having me, Stone.
Thanks for coming on. That's State Representative Rex Reynolds there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Ooh, Montgomery.
Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile.